Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The rule of law is one of the fundamental values of the European Union, but the EU is not the only organisation that aims to promote those values. In fact, the continent's oldest and largest intergovernmental body is the Council of Europe. Founded in 1949, headquartered in Strasbourg, its stated aim is to protect human rights, democracy and the rule of law. It has 46 member states, but over the years, it's been hit by crises or human rights abuses within its membership that critics say have tarnished its image. Well, my guest today is Alain Berset, the Secretary General of the Council of Europe. He became head of the organisation in September 2024, and before that, he was an elected minister in the government of Switzerland. Alain Berset, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
So, you have pressing problems in the Council of Europe, the crackdown on demonstrators in Turkey, the detention of the mayor of Istanbul, the clampdown on pro-EU protesters in Georgia. Do you feel that your values are under attack from your own members?
You know, I mean, it is always a strong engagement that we need to have to protect the rule of law and human rights and democracy. And we are facing huge changes on the continent, in the world in general. It is quite logic to see that it has consequences. And for us, for the organization, the most important thing is always to recall the principles. I mean, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of speech, the possibility that we need to have the good functioning democracies with the diversity of the media. Those are the principles, and then we need to address this in concrete cases. We have some issues with member states. It is a bit more difficult maybe today as it was the case 15 years ago, but it is developing. You know, it is like it is. And we have also the right tools to address this.
I was going to ask you about the tools, because one of the reforms you made a few years ago was to include this high-level dialogue with member states, which is offending one of the core principles, say. But what happens if the high-level dialogue doesn't go anywhere because you don't have legislative powers as such?
Well, you know, we have the strong commitment coming from all member states to the European Convention on Human Rights. That's really the strong text that we have at the very center of our activities. And not only the convention, but also the European Court on human rights.
Yeah, in Strasbourg, which enforces the...
And we have this legal body with decisions against states when human rights are not respected. And then we have the political side ensuring that it will be that the decisions will be executed, and it was not always easy, to be honest. But we have a quite high level of execution, and it is the most important thing. And where it is not executed, we are in dialogue with the member states to find the ways to have a good execution.
I want to ask you about Russia and Ukraine. You've said that your organization, so the Council of Europe, stands ready to put the Special Tribunal for the Crime of Aggression against Ukraine swiftly in place. What is the actual plan or the time frame for all
you know,
of this?
The whole discussion in this is about accountability. We do not want to live in a world where violence, destruction, force and impunity will prevail. We just want and need to have a world where peaceful relations, rule of law and accountability will prevail. That's the European Court on Human Rights, first pillar. Second pillar is about the Register of Damage and the Claims Commission. But then the third pillar will be about the Special Tribunal addressing the crime of aggression. And well, we are ready. We are ready to act if there is a will of states that we will do so. And we are at this point now. The so-called core group of countries decided to make the next step, and we will ask very soon if it's possible for us to do the organization of this special tribunal, and if there is a will, if there is a support from member states and other states, then we are ready to act.
So you'd have an organization role if there's will among member states.
Exactly.
The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe in its spring session called on European countries to build resilience against foreign interference, as they put it, And of course, there are important elections coming up in Poland and Romania. You have said that building such resilience doesn't happen by accident. It's a choice. And it's about building education, for example.
For example, I think we really need to adapt to the new world, I would say today. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have the social media. We didn't have this fragmentation of the society, this polarization of the debate. We didn't have the artificial intelligence. And there is no journey back to the ancient world. We must adapt to the new world and adapt because if we want a strong democracy, we need also to have the good conditions to have the positive development of democracy. It is about education. It is probably also about regulation. It is about addressing all those issues and mentioning the foreign, so-called foreign influences, interferences that you mentioned before. I mean, we need to have more orientation in what does it mean. Why is this a problem? It is a problem because it undermines the real will of the people deciding in a democracy what they want for their own country. And this is the case because, you know, democracy is, I mean, it's the best system because it is the only one system where all the people in a country can decide together what they want to have as a future for themselves. But it is also a fragile system. Because if you are able to manipulate the information, if you are able to have a strong development of disinformation, if you are able to use the artificial intelligence with negative purpose of manipulating the opinion, then you will undermine the democracy. And we must be not naive on this. We must address this, and it is exactly what we try to do, building a new democratic security for the whole continent.
And on the fragility of democracy, you've also said that one of the things that keeps you up at night is young people not voting and not seeing a stake in elections. So what would the Council of Europe want to do differently to change that?
This is a huge problem. You know, we are living since, would say, 15 years, a huge sequence of different crises. You know, we had a finance crisis, explosions of inequalities, rise of extreme populism. We had the war in Ukraine in 14, we had the COVID crisis, climate crisis, war in Ukraine since 22. And the impression that because our conditions of living are not becoming better, the impression, but that's the wrong conclusion, could be to say, okay, if it is not becoming better, it is because the democracy is not delivering for me. And it is not because of the democracy, it is because of the crisis. In this sequence of crisis, and we need to address this because when I see in polls, you know, in the statistics that we have 1/3 of the youngest generation thinking maybe a strong leader without parliament would be better to lead a country than a democracy, you know, I mean, it is dangerous for what we can and what we want to achieve together. Yeah.
Speaking of that kind of populist thinking, of course, there is this idea, this term lawfare that is used by supporters of Donald Trump or Marine Le Pen in France, Călin Georgescu in Romania. This is the idea of courts being used to exclude political movements that the establishment doesn't like. Do you think these kind of decisions, for example, the one that we saw in France recently of barring Marine Le Pen, does that actually strengthen populist movements?
Being active in politics, being high in the polls, for example, does never give you the right not to respect the law. The opposite should be true. We do have higher expectations regarding the laws for politicians. I mean, there is a rule of law. The elements you mentioned, I mean, the law was known. I mean, and it is to implement where this is a case, and also with possibilities to appeal and to have the next discussion. But this kind of thinking, you know, where because you are active in politics, you are above the law, it would be extremely dangerous for democracies.
Also related to populism, the Council of Europe, I think, has been critical of several member states, the way they've treated migrants. And I wonder, again, whether you have any plans to kind of address that.
I mean, it is always an active discussion with all member states. I mean, we strongly believe in dialogue, you know, in dialogue and to be able to find together the way to respect the values. And it is clear that with migrants, we have categories of population being in a weak position, I mean, in general. And it doesn't allow not to respect the human rights, not to respect the full dignity for those people. And even if it's difficult, even if there is strong pressure in different states, and it is our role, I think, to address this with the countries, to have the discussion, the dialogue, also in a friendly way, you know, to say we note this and maybe we can have a discussion on this and to see what we could do better. And it is, in general, also an open discussion with states. And what I experience it is that very often the countries are really interested also to have this assessment from outside, you know. We can learn something being addressed as a part of a discussion.
I mean, to be honest, they don't always like being told to... you know, to do what other countries want. But on the Istanbul Convention, for example, so which aims to prevent violence against women and girls, quite a few members of the Council of Europe have not ratified that. Presumably you're having a dialogue with those countries as well on ratification.
Not ratified or they left.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have also new countries joining. You know, it is always... On both ways, and I think the most important thing is to address the issue. I mean, it is unacceptable to not to see a strong fight against the violence against women and girls, and also if we are just noting right now a kind of strange backslide in those issues. I mean, we have today also in political debates. Quotes or interventions or positions in these issues, in this regard, really strange if we compare with the situation 15 years ago. We have the impression it is backsliding. And we need to address this.
So, but views that seem to go back to a previous era, sort of backward
thinking. Yes, I mean, but you know, it is not linear. We have positive development. We had the Istanbul Convention. It's a very important convention. And we had huge progress with this. And, suddenly it happens a situation where it is backsliding. And we need to address this to try to make a correction on this evolution and to have, again, a positive evolution. But it is never linear.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Alain Berset, for being my guest. Alain Berset, Secretary General of the Council of Europe. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.